We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Friday Fives Bronx Pinstripe Show. 7 wins in a row. Yankees finished the sweep of Boston. Last time we talked, it was right after the doubleheader sweep. Andrew Heaney was going the next day, so I don't know. We weren't very hopeful. You kind of were figuring out reverse jinxes or whatever the hell. Andrew Heaney shoved the bats down the Red Sox throats. So let's just start there. The Yankees complete sweep of Boston. Are the Red Sox dying?
Oh yes, badly, horribly. I don't know what they are. They actually, it's so funny because they look like we looked in the first half with them
lifeless.
They can't score. They have a terrible offensive approach right now. And this team was going absolutely perfect in the first half of the season. But their bullpen is trash. They didn't really do anything to address that. And they got Chris Sale back. But no, this is a completely... everybody could say, you could look at this and be like, yeah, that's baseball, Susan. You know, the Yankees were doing this in the first half. The Red Sox were doing this in the second half. The difference for me is that the Yankees shouldn't have done this in the first half, and the Red Sox actually shouldn't have been as good as they were in the first half. So there was actually a bit of a discrepancy that didn't make sense to me. I thought the Red Sox were worse than they were, and they're kind of showing their colors. Not to the full extent. Their offense absolutely should be better and will be better. They will definitely score more runs. There's still time for them to go on a run, and I think they probably will. I just don't think their pitching's going to hold up at that point. So I think that they are still in for some troubles, whereas the Yankees, their pitching's been phenomenal. Their starting pitching's been phenomenal for the last, you know, month and a half. Bullpen's starting to figure it out. It goes through waves, but their offense is becoming what we thought it could be. And then, you know, there's additional players. So yeah, the Red Sox suck and they're going to continue to slide. That's at the end of the day.
They certainly looked like a shitty baseball team in the three games. It's not just that the Yankees beat them. It's just like, you're right. They looked lifeless. They did things wrong. They looked sloppy in the field. They made base running mistakes. It's like the Monstars when they got their talent stolen. Like, yeah. It's like the
that's
same
what the Yankees
shit
look like.
That's, I know. That's it's more the same stuff that we went through in April, May, June, and half of July. Number two thing, yes, the Yankees got the sweep and they won the game against Minnesota, but holy shit, do they have to make every game a nail biter? Yes. Chapman in the ninth inning on Wednesday, Boone with the cojones to pull him. I didn't think Boone had the balls to go out there and pull Aroldis Chapman. For Lucas Lickey, okay? So it's not like you're bringing
in. You keep saying that because of his name, and I understand because of his name, but he's been very good.
Say it because he's a lefty. So it's not.
Well, that's true too.
You can't even point to like, oh, well, we liked a righty matchup here or something like that. No. Chapman had nothing. He was lost. He was going to blow the game. We've all seen that movie play out 100 times. So finally, Boone had the balls, got off his ass, and went out and did something.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't make sense.
We have to give credit where credit is
due. I've been giving him. It's all I've been doing is giving him credit recently. You told me I was an Aaron Boone fan last episode.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm saying in general.
At yourself?
I'm yelling at a computer screen, technically. But we crush Boone, and we'll continue to crush Boone whenever he does something stupid. But that was something smart. So when you do something smart and it works out, good for you.
It's not even smart. It's just what's in front of you. It's what's in front of you, and you see a situation and you react to a situation. And he did it. He did an appropriate thing. He did an appropriate thing. He saw a guy struggling, and before that guy struggled to a point where he blew it and absolutely crushed souls in Yankees fans and, you know, in the organization, he removed said person and brought in a different person.
Three weeks ago, Boone sits on the bench, picking his ass, and Chapman blows the game.
Yes. No, that literally happened 3 weeks ago, I think. Multiple times.
And then the Yankees bullpen / Taillon, who ran out of gas on Thursday against Minnesota, let them back in the game, and that had to be a save situation towards the end. The team, especially offensively, is night and day better, more athletic, more versatile, all of the above. But the bullpen is still a huge concern for me.
Yes, sure. But I do think that they have some flexibility in there's some things happening in AAA right now, too, that I think could add to that bullpen. Clark Schmidt's also another guy that's rehabbing right now and looking pretty decent. I don't know what kind of a role he's going to be. I don't know if he's going to be able to be fully stretched out for a starter and actually be an impactful guy in the rotation for the Yankees down the stretch. He's never shown it. He showed it for like one start, two starts, right? But then he's been hurt. Or should they just be focusing on him as a contained guy, 2 to 3 innings, 1 inning, and just come out of the bullpen? But I think they have some of those options in AAA as well. So would not be surprised that once September call-ups happen and we're looking towards, you know, what's going to be in the playoffs, if they're in a position for the playoffs at that point, knocking on wood, that they revamp that bullpen a little bit.
Yeah, my only concern there is when you have a collection of guys that you kind of trust, you really have no one that you can trust.
Yeah, but I don't think it's at that point. I mean, you got Clay Holmes, who's coming back. Britton, who's been much better in the past 3 days, 4 days.
Britton had two good appearances. Back. Chill out.
Yeah, but how much of that is mental?
I think a lot of it
looks
is mental.
Very much the same as the guy that you want to trust.
No, I think a big part of it was mental with Britton. And I think him blowing the Field of Dreams game, that's a high-profile blown save, and I think that probably fucked with him a little bit.
Oh, it humbled him, no doubt about it. And then coming back out, and there was a big, you know, he was in the news for all the relievers don't want to be in the news. If you're a reliever and you're in the news, something's wrong. And he was very much on the back pages, like, consistently. So
it's like umpires. If you have to talk about the umpires, they did something wrong. If you have to talk about the relievers, they did something wrong.
Exactly.
Number three thing, I want you to rank these unsung heroes, which are really helping the Yankees. They've won 7 in a row. And they, I think, on the broadcast last night, Cone or someone said the Yankees have the best record in the American League since like July 10th or something like that. Rank these unsung heroes: Tyler Wade, Nestor Cortez, Luis Gil, and Albert Abreu.
Okay. The answer that I'm having here is none of the above. The answer that you're looking for is Andrew Velasquez.
He hasn't been here long. No. Velasquez has been good for like a week. We're going to talk about Andrew Velasquez. But like Tyler Wade, over 1,000 OPS in his last 15 games. Nestor Cortez held down the rotation when 3/5 of it were out, okay?
Yes. The answer
I'm
is Nestor Cortez.
I'm ranking Nestor Cortez number one, 2.73 ERA in 6 starts. Like,
I just had to throw Andrew Velasquez into that. I know we're going to talk about him, but you can't talk about him enough right now. So I'm going to, but yes,
fine.
Nestor Cortez, and tip of the cap to those RotoWear guys, because I don't know if you saw the shirts yesterday, but they had the Mario Brothers with the flame coming out, and Nasty Nestor, pretty good.
Luis Gil has not allowed a run in his major league career, 15 and 2/3 innings. Albert Abreu, since he just got absolutely destroyed in Tampa on July 29th, has been lights out. So all of these guys, I'm going to rank them. Nestor Cortez, number one. Tyler Wade, number two.
Wow.
Luis Gil, number three. Number four, Albert Abreu. That's how I would rank them. But Nestor Cortes has far and away been, and he I don't think we can like
downplay. No, you can't.
3/5 of the rotation was out. Gerrit Cole, Jordan Montgomery, Domingo Germán. And they plugged in Nestor Cortes, nasty Nestor with a plumber mustache, okay? And he put up a 2.73 ERA in his starts. You literally could never have predicted that. Nothing, you couldn't have asked for anything more. If you said he'll put up a 4 ERA in this time, everyone would have signed up.
If he was a bridge guy getting through 4 to 5 innings, like, you know, if he pitched like Masahiro Tanaka in 2020, we would have been like, amazing, amazing. And that is not a great result. Luis Gil, same thing. 3 starts, 0 runs. Like, the guy is also a you know, was placed into a situation that was very unknown. He was, I had forgotten that he was the guy that came back for Jake Cave, by the way, that Minnesota deal. I mean, that's such an interesting deal. Jake Cave still being out there hurt the Yankees last night a little bit. Good player, solid player. And then Gil coming over. It's like a tale of two organizations and what they need and what they can take risks on.
You know who I get Jake Cave mixed up? Who was the guy that we traded to Seattle who had the flow, the outfielder? What was his name?
Ben Gamel.
Ben Gamel. Yeah. They had Dexter Fowler. The Yankees had so many like...
They did not have Dexter Fowler.
What?
Yankees?
Dustin Fowler, sorry.
Dustin Fowler,
the guy who blew out his knee in
Dustin
the first
Fowler,
inning.
Yes, correct.
Dustin Fowler, sorry. You know.
Dexter Fowler is like a 15-year vet.
They had so many quad A outfielders in like the 2016, 17, 18 timeframe that everyone was like, well, he hits 300 at AAA, but then we're like, yeah, but he's going to hit 215 in the majors. Like, what are we doing here? So
yeah, Jake Cave, though, to his credit, is not hitting 215. He's actually putting himself together a pretty good MLB career.
Number four, Luke Voit had some pretty strong comments about him wanting to play and him thinking he deserves to play. Talked about how he was a top 10 MVP candidate, how he led the league in home runs last year, or 60-game season, and that he thinks he deserves to play just as much as Anthony Rizzo. And that he also understands Rizzo is only here because Luke Voit was out for 99% of the season up until the trade deadline. But those were comments that he made a decision. Luke Voit did to say these comments publicly. He could have said these comments to Boone and Cashman privately, but he chose to go to the media to voice his opinion. What did you think?
He was prompted, right? The questions were asked of him, and then he had something that he was prompted. But yes.
But no, I'm not bashing him for it, honestly.
Oh, I'm curious. Well, no, I think it's. What do you think of them? Are you not bad? Are you okay with them? Are you kind of bashing him? Because that's perfectly. I think a lot of people are. A lot of people start comparing, you know, Luke Voit's comments to people who have done it in the past and just like shut up and been there and just proved it with their play.
Here's where I have a little bit of a problem. I don't think Luke Voit deserves to play as much as Anthony Rizzo. I think Luke Voit deserves to play, but like literally by his comments, they should not have equal playing time because Anthony Rizzo is better for this team than Luke Voit. Luke Voit can certainly help this team. And if he's DHing while Stanton's in the outfield, the lineup's obviously way better than if it's like otherwise. But do you agree? He does not deserve to play equally to Anthony Rizzo.
Agreed. But that doesn't mean just because we're saying he doesn't need to be playing as much as Anthony Rizzo, I don't think that's a 1-to-1 because of the DH spot, exactly what you just said. I think there's an opportunity for both of them to, I'm an idiot and I muted it while I was talking. I was really dumb because there's an airplane going over me and I'm like, I don't even know what was in my brain to say, mute this. But I muted it while I was talking and then kept talking.
Holy shit, you are dumb.
Okay.
It's just all of a sudden, like he's talking. I'm like, can't hear you, buddy.
It's like, I muted it. I even moved the fucking camera because I couldn't see the mute button.
Let's just keep rolling. Who cares? What were you saying?
Jesus Christ. I have no idea what I was just saying. I just completely lost my train of thought. Yeah, so anyway, he is a guy that is not the best first baseman on the team. Everybody knows that.
Rizzo's far and away a better first
baseman. Not even close. I mean, that play that Rizzo made on that low hop where he just kind of like kept his glove, didn't turn the glove and just like lowered the glove. Not a lot of guys do that. People flip the glove get their footwork all screwed up and the ball goes flying somewhere or ricochets off. No, he just made it nice and simple and just caressed that ball into his glove. It was beautiful.
So that's why I think I want Rizzo playing first base basically every day. If he needs a day off every 13, 14 days, fine. Put Luke Voit at first base. And then Voit should definitely be DHing whenever Stanton's in the outfield, which seems to be 3 days a week at this point. But that doesn't, I don't think that's going to satisfy Luke Voit and what he thinks he deserves to play based on his comments. He thinks he's an everyday player.
Well, he
is an everyday player.
As he should.
He is an everyday player. But in the context of where the Yankees are right now, he's not an everyday player. And Stanton's comments about how he knows the Yankees are a better team when he's in the field is absolutely on point. He knows, like, yes, when Stanton can play the outfield, you can put your optimal offensive lineup on paper.
The death lineup. The death lineup is available at that point. And yes, I'm glad Stanton can realize that. I don't know what the issue was before when he was healthy and not and perfectly able to go out there. But, you know, his comments talking about that they're a better team. The Yankees are, he knows that. They're more flexible. But he was kind of also leaning it towards the fact that Rizzo and Gallo are now here. And, like, that's kind of why this is a thing now. And because when they were not here, it wasn't actually a pressing issue. Acknowledge it. That's great. Change it now. That's great. But I would very, very much argue that Giancarlo Stanton is a much better player all around when he's in the field and swinging a bat in a game.
But
feels like he's in the game more.
But it was an issue. Before the Yankees traded for Joey Gallo, they had like a month where they were on their 7th, 8th, and 9th outfielders playing in the outfield. You're telling me Giancarlo...
Yeah, you're right. I'm not justifying Stanton. When he says it's not... What I'm saying is that he's kind of pinning it to that. He didn't say that it wasn't an issue before that. He's kind of pinning it to that publicly is what it looks like. That's the jockeying. That's his line that he's kind of pushing forward. It doesn't matter. I really don't care. But what they need to understand and identify is that this man is a better baseball player when he's playing two ways. He is.
He's a better baseball player. The Yankees are a better baseball team. The lineup is the death lineup. All of the above. And now moving on to Voit's comments. So that was like literally what he was saying. Now the fact that he voiced it to the media, I normally hate this kind of stuff, but I listened to it. They played it a couple times on the broadcast and I saw it on Twitter. I don't know. I didn't hate it as much as like if I just read the quote, I feel like.
I don't care if people are honest about what they, especially when they're probed and asked questions, which they are. So I could care less. He's just being honest and talking. It's fine. It's the elephant in the room. If he didn't say that, what are we doing? Of course he wants to play more. He doesn't have to shut up. This is not the age of shut up and play anymore. That's not, whoever thinks that this is the era of shut up and play has not been paying attention in the past 10 years with social media. People have opinions. People express their opinions. And when asked, most times they'll give an answer back. It doesn't have to be a company line. And I'm fine with that.
Here's where it would be a problem. If, say, Voit gets some at-bats and he sucks,
leans on that and says, I'm not getting at-bats.
Right. And then he says, well, I was the home run king last year. I deserve to get regular at-bats. It's like, okay, man, like, that's just not the situation we're in right now. Shut up and play. Shut up and just try and play in the playing time that you have.
No, he cannot use this as an excuse. It's not teed up for an excuse for him by any means. He's just standing up for himself, I think, as a baseball player and what he's done. He's not wrong.
Let's not forget that Anthony
also,
Rizzo...
Also, he's been injured a lot.
Let's not forget Rizzo, his contract ends at the end of this season.
Yes.
There's no guarantee. It's actually probably not going to happen that the Yankees will sign Rizzo again. So Luke Voit's back to being the first baseman next year, and he'll be the part-time DH backup first baseman for the rest of this year. End of story. That's just how it is. Don't get hurt, man. Like, don't be hurt for the entire first half, and we wouldn't be in this problem.
Yeah, also, I mean, there's a left-handed bat that came in, and it was a good defensive player. It was a great opportunity, and they took it. Who cares? It's like best on the board, you know what I'm saying? Like, you look at maybe it's not a need, but it's best available, and you figure it out.
Number five, we'll talk about your boy, Andrew Velasquez. Is he actually better for this team right now than Gleyber Torres? Are the Yankees a better team with Andrew Velasquez playing good defensive shortstop, hitting ninth, being a switch hitter, putting the bat on the ball, not going to do anything too special. I know he's gotten a few hits with runners in scoring position, but fine, even if he doesn't do that. Are the Yankees a better team with his stellar defense at short, his Bronx nativeness and emotional leadership and family in the stands? He's eating lasagna at his mom's house, a quick subway ride away from the stadium. Is that better for the Yankees right now than Gleyber?
Oh my God. It's really hard to argue against that, to be honest. When you're talking about fit, and you know me and my love for like for fit in a roster. Like, this is the entire reason I've always been a Tyler Wade defender, because he doesn't need to be the best player on the team. He doesn't even need to be a 300 hitter. He doesn't even need to be offense first. He just has to fit what the Yankees have. And right now, Velasquez fits what the Yankees need. Not only is he playing stellar defense, it's not just good defense, it's damn gold glove, phenomenal defense. The guy is an unbelievable defender. He led AAA in stolen bases. The guy is out here. I mean, the stolen base that he had last night was unbelievable. It was one of the best jumps that I have seen in a Yankees uniform, maybe forever.
We're
joking.
We're getting excited over jumps.
Maybe forever.
Would Eduardo Perez approve of that secondary lead?
Oh, hell yeah. we haven't seen instincts on the base path from a guy trying to steal a base like that since Jacoby Ellsbury.
We've had Brett Gardner.
Brett Gardner does not have the instincts.
No, that's what I'm saying.
He's just fast.
We've had Brett Gardner for 12 years just being a terrible base stealer, even though he's fast.
We had a glimpse of Ellsbury who knew how to steal a base.
Homer Bush?
Velasquez?
How about Homer Bush?
Velasquez has the instincts to go out there. And right now, he is doing everything. And yes, I can't... It's really hard to downplay the emotional response that the fans give to him and that the players feed back to him, because that is so real. And I don't know how sustainable it is.
No, you're right. I mean, he's sitting there with the heavyweight title belt in the post game after he gave an emotional speech in the clubhouse. The guys kind of got around him rah-rah style. I mean, obviously, when Gleyber Torres returns, he's going to be the shortstop. However, I'm looking at the team play right now, and a ball's hit to shortstop, and I'm like, cool, Velasquez is there. He's gonna make the play. And it's like, I don't care what he does offensively, because the rest of the lineup is hitting well right now, and especially when Luke Voit's in there, you've got legitimately 8 good offensive players. And I know Odor is actually one of the good offensive players, and he's playing a good third base. And Gio's going to come back, and he's going to have to go back. So how do these puzzle pieces fit? Because you don't want to screw up a good thing.
Right.
However, it's Gio's job, and it's Glaber's job. But those are two pieces that in the first half of the year didn't help this team win games. I still like what Gio overall can do. Good defense.
And Gio's a very good player. He also fits this team very well.
But you know what I'm saying. It's like they've got a good thing going right now. And it's going to change when they plug Gio and Gleyber. You're going to be... The left side of the infield is changing in the coming weeks when those guys return.
Yes. All right. Yeah, no. So honestly, what it comes down to for me, one, when rosters expand, the band will be back together. But Tyler Wade and Velasquez are certainly competing for a spot. There's no doubt about it. They are they're the same player right now. Velasquez gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Well, Wade can play the outfield.
Yeah, but we don't need that. But Velasquez gives you more offensive flexibility, because he can go from both sides of the plate. And look, Tyler Wade is a very good defender as well. Velasquez actually looks like just a tick up, to be honest. Like, his instincts are unbelievable.
Yes, I know you wanted to put him on the unsung heroes thing, and I guess he could certainly fit into that, but...
He's a local hero is what he is. He's a legend in the Bronx. Could you imagine
the Yankees
growing up in the Bronx, being just a diehard Yankees fan, then coming over to the Yankees after floating around and making a significant impact in front of like a massive crowd in a division pennant race? Like, holy shit.
Did you
like,
see
this
what
guy
he
is
said?
Living everybody's dream.
Did you see what he said about playing the Red Sox?
He said
he was great that he could be there against the Red Sox, because as a kid, he probably couldn't have afforded those tickets.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. No, because they're expensive tickets.
yeah, that's what he meant.
Yeah, they're expensive tickets. They are. But no, it's awesome. I tweeted last night, like, it's fun to watch a kid live his dream because that's exactly what's happening in front of our eyes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Okay, some look aheads. One, will Andrew Heaney get another start? Probably, after his performance against the Red Sox.
Yeah, he will. We'll see how bad the Red Sox are on his next start. Probably will say, yep, they were pretty bad. They were pretty bad, pretty much in their own heads. Andrew Heaney, I mean, look, the way that the health of the rotation is happening right now, too, he's just got another spot. So until guys come back, he's got a spot. Basically is what's happening. Until someone who can prove himself healthy or better or both, Andrew Heaney's pitching. And probably, he got the J-Hap comparison the other night. I was like, ooh.
I don't understand that comparison. Like, I watched them pitch. They're completely different pitchers.
They don't look the same. And J-Hap was like, that's disrespectful to J-Hap as much as you can.
J-Hap actually J-Hap. Has had a successful major league career.
Yeah, right.
All right. Number two, the Yankees are now still 5 games behind Tampa. Tampa's also playing well. Are you eyeing the division at all? Or are you just focused still on the wild card? Now the number one wild card seed. Because they're in the number one wild card seed. They've got Oakland coming up. 4 games. They're a game up on Oakland. But you're in the driver's seat for the wild card being played at Yankee Stadium, at least right now.
Yeah, yeah. No, of course. You have to look at the division. I mean, they're not looking at the division. They never were looking at the division. They probably weren't even looking at the wild card. They're just focused on themselves. Focus on the now. Break it down. Go as cliche as all hell. And just focus on you. And let the cards, fall where they may. Because that's what they have to do. They have to make sure that they're playing good baseball. Continuously playing good baseball. You were right. I didn't actually Google it after we got corrected on Twitter. But I'll just assume that was correct. But yeah, they just have to continue to play baseball. Play well. That's it. Look at the standings.
Here's what they need to do. They need to get within 3 games of Tampa. So they need to make up 2 games before the last weekend.
You keep going back to these matchups,
though,
and it doesn't work. It all gets blown up.
Let me finish. If they get to within 3 games of Tampa before the last series of the season, which is 3 games at home against Tampa, they could sweep that series and they would get the division. Because in that instance, they would have the tiebreaker against Tampa because they would be 10-9 against Tampa and they would be tied in the standings and they have the tiebreaker. So that's what they need to do. They need to bank up 2 more games to have a chance before that last weekend of the season.
Okay, so let me just recap what you said. They need to get within 3 games of the last series in which they actually play Tampa 3 games and then win all 3 games. That is some math right there.
Well,
they own the tiebreaker.
But that's a realistic scenario. I don't think, because Tampa is good, okay?
It's 5 games. 5 games can go one way or the other very quickly. If you win 1 game and they lose 1 game, it's down to four. Yeah, well, I'm going to do simple math too. So 5 games is absolutely obtainable because if you have one team with a bad stretch and another team with a good stretch, like yeah, that's obviously going fast.
Are the Rays going to pull a Red Sox and go 3-11 in their next 14 games?
No, but I don't think they have to, because like you just said, they have another they have a series at the end of the season against them, so they don't have to.
But I'm not saying
they got to be at three games. Like I'm not even looking at that. That doesn't matter.
Well, if they're at four games, guess what? They can't tie them.
You're right. That is math too. What if they're four games up?
Well, then it doesn't matter. Luis, number three, Luis Severino update. No structural damage in his shoulder. Good news. He'll be reevaluated next week again as he goes through some throwing as they watch him. This, I think, takes him out of any rotation questions for this year. He's not going to be in the rotation this year. He could still make an impact in the bullpen. Shoulder stuff. So he did have that rotator cuff and lat injury back in March of 2019 when the Yankees completely botched his diagnosis and MRI stuff and all that kind of stuff. So this is obviously not good news, but it's not the worst possible news on Severino. But I think at this point, they need to just say, you're going to be a reliever for us in September, hopefully. He's not going to be in the rotation. Not enough time.
This is the thing. There might be enough time because he stretched out. I mean, this doesn't take him completely out. I don't know what the injury is. We'll see. He's got to throw. You throw to a point where you're healthy, and then we'll see where you are. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Because, again, that rotation might mean a start in three innings. Who even knows what that means anymore? Just get to a point. Get as stretched out as you possibly can, and then we'll see where you are.
Oh, you want to
just be healthy, though.
You want to piggyback a little nasty Nestor and Luis Severino?
I would prefer them on separate days and both of them be nasty, but yeah, we'll figure that out.
Number four, does the turnaround that the Yankees have done justify the, quote, stay the course people and negate criticism that we've given the team and the organization to this point in the season?
No, TBD, can't react to that this fast. It's been a hell of a turnaround. Cashman probably more so than Boone because he inserted some life into this roster and changed it up, which apparently changed Boone's approach, which was a good thing. I don't know what happened. I feel like we need a post-mortem to really assess what actually happened here. Because
let's see what happens in the playoffs. Lost. That's my stance.
Yeah, you gotta win still. Like, this is fun and great and all, but like again, like we've said in many times in the past, Yankees fans judge this team on championships. That's how players and managers and GMs are judged. That's it. Championships. You gotta
win. Get to the World Series for me. And
you
it's
gotta
a successful
win.
Season. At this point, get to the World Series and it's a successful season for me. Number five. Quickly, something to keep an eye on over the next weeks, months, whatever. The first report of a proposal from Major League Baseball to the Players Association for the next CBA was reported by Evan Delrich and Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. Reportedly, the league wants to lower the first luxury tax threshold to $180 million and create a floor salary minimum of $100 million. That's a big jump down for the cap, and owners are treating it like a cap. Players will not go for this. This first iteration, obviously. It's a first iteration. But that's an interesting proposal. I like the floor.
I like the concept of a floor. It helps, obviously, small market teams. It makes the owners put up. They can't just tank seasons. They can't have these long ass. They cannot be the Baltimore Orioles. And because the Baltimore Orioles are a problem in the league.
Remember when the Miami Marlins had like a $23 million payroll? It's like, no, you can't be a Major League Baseball franchise with a total payroll less than a left fielder.
Right. I agree. Yeah. So I think conceptually it's getting there.
We're going to continue to keep an eye on this because I'm interested in all this stuff. Obviously, when I did that history episode about the two sides. All right. That's going to wrap it up. We'll be back at you on Monday.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality.
Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.